Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are Rizzo excited for our guest today.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird.
Well, Jonah, you know, it's the fall, you know what I'm saying? And everybody knows that that's a great time for something that we used to do a lot as kids, which is to go apple picking.
Yep. Yeah. Apple picking, you know, and I went recently.
Yeah.
I went with my wife to this place by us where we went once. And yeah, it's a real blast. Our favorite is the...
Macintosh?
Not Macintosh. Honeycrisp.
Yeah. Oh,
we're big
into the
Honeycrisps. And so I got a lot of those and I put so many in the bag that it actually ripped and I dropped all the apples right when we were getting to the car and it was... Then my arms were sore. Then it turned out I had COVID. But yeah, just went apple picking. It's a real blast. Vanessa, do you remember apple picking as a kid?
I do. Well, the thing that when we went with you and Vicky recently, what I realized as an adult is that you can go apple picking for a long time and then you go into the store where you go buy them and you could actually just go buy apples that they've already picked for you. And that's kind of, I guess that takes the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Finding your own apples. But also... kind of from a time versus...
It's faster to buy them. The tough part is really walking with the apples are really heavy. That's
yes,
my problem.
Is, yes. Yeah. And the thing that I remember about going to this place, Patterson's, when we were kids was buying donuts. Like the apples, it's great. They have apples here. But also when you would go to buy the apples, you could also buy donuts and hot
apple cider donuts. That's a classic.
Ooh, the apple cider donuts.
Treat. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A real fall treat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, speaking of a real treat, should we introduce our guest today?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, our guest today is a hilarious writer who has worked on some of your favorite shows, including American Auto, The Tonight Show, and your actual favorite show. I love that for you. Please welcome my friend, Albertina Rizzo.
Hi.
Hello, Albertina.
I'm so delighted to be here.
So delighted to have you. Now, Albertina, did you ever go apple picking as a kid or as an adult?
You know, it's interesting you ask me that because... So I think... people go apple picking with their kids when they want to tire them out, I think, probably is the whole thing. I don't think it's because they... And also, I think it's because the parents can kind of just let them roam free and do whatever they want. You know, as a kid, I was in Argentina for a few years, and I think those were prime apple picking years.
Sure.
But I've been apple picking as an adult, and it's usually around this time of year, as you mentioned. And I do find that it is ultimately... pretty boring. The lead up to apple picking is really sweet because you're like, oh, it's going to be like, and then you get there and it's just, there's too many apples. You're not going to finish all the apples, first off.
Yeah.
There's way too many apples. And then also it becomes a thing where you pick two and then you're like, I'm done. But then there's like two more hours of it.
Right.
And there's a reason we have grocery stores.
Okay. I hear you. I hear you.
But I say that with so much peace and love because I do know that like some people, like, you know, on The Bachelor, sometimes they'll be like apple picking as a romantic thing. And I'm like, I don't get how that's a romantic thing because it is work. There's bees.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just like muggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think it's, in theory, it seems like a very sweet thing. I'm also shocked. Like, I'm a New York City. I also grew up in New York City. I am shocked by free food on trees.
Yeah.
Like the idea that food grows on trees is still so compelling to me. Living in LA.
Unbelievable. We used to have a blackberry bush in our backyard.
Incredible.
Remember, Jonah? And our mom would make like blackberry pie with it. And it was like, this food is free. And you were just like, this was a free pie.
Yeah. We have some blueberry bushes in our backyard. I think the deers usually get to them. But we also have a quince tree. And a quince is Yeah. And so they usually just kind of fall off. But we thought about it. I think they're pretty bitter. One time I was in the front yard and some kid was walking by and just walked in our yard and grabbed a quince. And I was like, so viscerally like, and I was like, he was with his dad. I was like, can I help you? You know, because like, you just walked onto our yard, grabbed something off a tree and walked by. And he was like, no, I'm good.
Oh.
And, you know, I let it go. But it was tough, you know. It's tough.
How did the dad react?
It's like on his phone, totally checked out.
That tracks.
That tracks.
Also, the fact that the kid wanted quince so badly is a funny thing. Why did he want quince?
I don't think he knew what it was because I don't think you even can really eat them raw. I think this kid was, you know, just I don't know.
And for those of us who don't exactly know what quince is.
Quince, I don't really know. I think it looks kind of like an apple. I think they're really bitter. I think you can like cook them down and make like jam or something out of them.
I know quince because quince paste is like a thing that I grew up eating and you eat it with cheese. Like it's like, you know, there's
really?
Like it's used in a lot of pastries and stuff, specifically in like South America and stuff. But like you can have it like, you know how people have like fig. Like in a nice cheese plate, you'll have like fig spread or something with cheese. Right. Quince paste is the same, is the equivalent, is whatever.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. But again, you have free food growing in your front yard, which is like, to me, continues to be crazy. Like I have a pomegranate tree in my backyard. I know. And I am pomegranate rich sometimes. Like, and sometimes I'll go to Whole Foods or something and I'll see a pomegranate and like for sale, I'll be like, I can't believe I have all these free pomegranates. Like it blows my mind. I'm like, can you imagine paying for these? I understand that fruit comes from trees. I just want to preface by saying I understand where fruit, a lot of fruit comes from trees. Okay.
But I just got to say, pomegranates.
I know.
First of all, has anything been more fun or more frustrating to eat? Whenever I buy a pomegranate, just trying to get, and I've watched a million different internet videos of different ways to eat them, just getting all those seeds out. But man, putting some pomegranate seeds in yogurt, that is one of my favorite things to eat. Pomegranates rock.
They're so good. There's no way to not look like a chimp when you're eating them. Like fully... Nature. You're one with nature. But like on Sundays, I'll walk to the farmer's market and buy stuff. And like, obviously I know where the things that are in the farmer's market came from, which is likely the ground or trees. I'll walk by this like big street and there's trees that overhang. I think the rule is that if the tree overhangs, by the way, Jonah, if you want to, the law behind the quince that was stolen from you, if the branch is over the fence and on the street, I am allowed to take it as a citizen.
Yeah.
Like
wasn't the case in this situation. Just
no,
FYI.
He fully robbed you. But I walk past like these branches, and if I see a lemon that's dangling over, I will take that lemon because to me, I'm like, it's free food. It's like finding a hamburger untouched on a table.
It's... My neighbors, I have lemons in my backyard, which is incredible. My neighbors have orange trees, and the orange trees grow over the gate between our houses. And they have said to me, like, you can have, you know, take the oranges, obviously. And it is like, I still feel scared to do it. Like, I still, even though I'm fully on my property when I do it, it still feels like a little scary. Even though, again, they've given me permission, but it is so...
What feels scary about taking it once they've said it's okay and it's on your and it's in your yard? What feels scary?
I don't know. It's scary because it's not my tree.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? But to get free oranges, I go, this is the life, you know?
With the price of orange juice?
Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding? I will say, because of global warming, I've noticed that both the lemons in my backyard and the orange trees in their backyard kind of staying green. Not fully ripening in a weird way, but so that's been a bummer.
Yeah, no, it's all going downhill for all of us. I mean, the tree, the food will not be growing on trees that much. So let's just cherish the fact that it is growing on trees.
Yeah, we had some issues out here. Yeah, with the apples because it rained a lot, then it didn't rain. It's like, yeah, there's so many variables with this. Yeah. And if either of you have ever tried to have a home garden, which we do, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with.
I currently have a home garden and I'm growing tomatoes and they are coming in and they're coming in hot. But I have to say that it is like you do get addicted to the idea. Like you get addicted to the idea that like you're growing food because it just does seem like you're probably not saving that much money.
No, no, you're not.
When I was on strike, that's when I started growing tomatoes because I was like, all this money I spent on tomatoes, which was probably $10, let's be honest.
I don't have an income now, but now I did. I don't have to pay for tomatoes.
I'm so tomato it evens rich. Out. And, but the thing is that like, so it's, I think it just keeps your mind busy, but it's not practical. Like, I mean, it's just like, but the pomegranates, like when the pomegranates came in, at first was like, I love pomegranate. I'm going to make so much stuff with pomegranates. And then it got to the point where I was annoyed by how many pomegranates I had, where it's like, I got to unload some of these pomegranates on people. Like I was giving them away to friends. I was coming to like, I was just like, please take some. Cause you're not, let's be honest. Am I really going to go out of my way to make a pomegranate jam and all that stuff? It's like, I'll do it once or twice. But after a while, I'm like, I have a life to live.
Yeah, sure, you got to live your life. You got to absolutely live your life.
Speaking of food, Albertina, I'm wondering if you could talk a little about the writer's room for I Love That For You. What was the food scene like there? What do you have any memories of that?
Okay, I'm so glad we're talking about this because food is basically why we do this job.
Exactly.
It's truly, I worked in late night and that was a food bazaar. It was like when I tell you, those were the heydays of food.
Well, wait, before you even get into it, I got to say, you guys had the same NBC snacks too. That's not what you're talking about. But do you know what I'm talking about? Where, like the one, like they would put this in the guest rooms when on SNL.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like a bunch of weird cheeses that are mostly Goudas, a bunch of nuts and like apricots. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes. Because what would happen was like, you know, it's a tough job. So let's just preface by saying it's a very hard job. You're in the building the majority of your life. You're just like most of your life, you're just ready to eat at any given moment because you know you're going to spend, you're not seeing daylight a lot at the Rira because it's too much. First off, it's Midtown. You're not going to schlep downstairs and like cross, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to go see daylight, get your eyes tired and have to.
No, you got to scavenge.
You 90%,
right, like what nobody tells you about working at 30 Rock is that it's a scavenger lifestyle, which means you are at your desk starving, but meanwhile, you have definitely eaten like within the last 30 minutes, but you're still starving. And then you go and you go to the guest rooms. It's like hitting the jackpot, right? So you wait till the guests leave and they never eat the food.
Is that the food? I used to take it with me. I bet I was the worst guest on any late night show because I'd go, I'm taking these gourmet Rice Krispie treats or these whatever, and I'm putting them in a bag and I'm taking them to go.
I'm going to tell you something. I would leave every night, almost every night, and I had my people who would look out for me and give me the milk cookies.
Yes.
The Momofuku milk cookies. We used to give those, a tin of those, which is like, I don't know, 5-6 cookies per tin.
I got this as a holiday gift from my agents one year. I mean, that's a that's an expensive tin of cookies. I'm going to put a $40 price tag on that.
Yeah. Well, they were in the guest rooms. Yeah. And you know, I would go there almost every night and be like, are there any tin cookies left? And I would take them. Even if they'd been cracked open, I'd be like, I'll take the two that weren't cracked open. And I'd have so many milk cookies in my house because it was like, I'm owed this. I have worked so yes. hard. This food is mine. But I would scavenge. It was truly like the food was mostly, I will say, the cheese plates were, they could have done a little
they
work on those.
Could have stepped up, yeah.
It was Gouda. It was mostly Gouda.
It was so much Gouda in a way that you go, who is asking for Gouda?
Exactly. Maybe there's a little bit of cheddar here and there, but the yeah. cheddar was always gone. Somebody was always eating the cheddar.
Yeah.
Somebody probably got to it first.
It's probably me walking around. Anyway, go ahead.
And so you would go into these rooms. I did that all the time, not just some of the time, all the time, like a couple of days a week. I'd be like, why? This food is free and it's waiting for me. And Barbara Streisand's not going to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. So why not you? Now, Jeremy and our friend Jeremy, we've talked about this when he was on the podcast. When he came to SNL, I showed him how if you walked back into the publicity offices, which were by our offices, in the middle of the night, like on a writer's night, you could find all kinds of treasures, like gifts that had been sent to the publicists.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have a sign on them that said, like, for anyone, you know, but it was sort of the thing of like, if you're going to put this like in a sort of undesignated area that's not technically in anyone's cubicle or office or anything, you got to know that anyone can eat these. So we would be eating, you know, chocolates and all kinds of like chocolate drizzled popcorn and all kinds of stuff that'd be left around the publicity offices in the middle of the night that, yeah, maybe they came in the next morning and were like, why is all the food been ravaged through and whatever. But it's like, you know, if you don't put it away, then put it away.
If you don't want me to eat it, then don't put it in my sight line.
Because don't put it in my sight line for me to find if I have a very,
oh no,
if I specifically yeah. know where to go.
That was one of the great joys of working in that building. I truly can say it, like, sure, friendships, but also the food was very, and I like look at pictures of me, like, because I left in 2019. Early 2019. That's when I moved to LA. Those were not my prettiest years. I'll say that.
Oh, me neither. And I was on TV. And I was just like,
no,
I got
well, you were. I no, you were. You looked great. You know,
I got to take what I can get here. Now, the other thing I will say, since we left in 2019, before we get into the, I would like to talk briefly about that. I love that for you, writer's room, and
yes,
how
yes.
I go. I never knew I was so into pretzels, but what I was going to say was, since we have left, although you were, I guess I left SNL in 2017, so you were there for some of this, but I feel that the quality of the actual restaurants in 30 Rock, which if you were going to really treat yourself, you could go buy food downstairs.
Yeah.
Has gone way up. Like there was a...
Hale and Hardy. There was Hale and Hardy.
Well, there was Hale and Hardy and that stuff was there when I was there, but then yes. they got a... Blue Ribbon Sushi, which was never there
wow,
when I was there.
That's serious.
Well, I know they got a, which I don't know where you fall on this. Was it by Chloe, the yes. vegetarian place?
Yes, that was there. So when I left, there were they really stepped up their game. Because when I started there, it was early, like late 2012, early 2013. That was
yeah.
like when I started,
yeah.
first job. And I remember being like, at first, the first 4 months, you're like, wow, I can't wait for another cheddar broccoli soup from Hale and Hardy.
The Potbelly sandwich place. I was like, this is the best. I can't believe they have this.
Oh yeah. It was great. And also the convenience of it where like you're not getting it yourself. So it tastes even better because like it was like,
oh, yeah.
what would happen was that the interns would come around because you didn't have time. You
yeah.
had to like write jokes and sketches and stuff. So they'd come around and they'd take your lunch order and they'd go downstairs and I'd pretty much eat the same things like from Pret, Hale and Hardy and Chopped. It was like the
Pret-a-Manger.
Pret-a-Manger, that French bakery that we love. And it was like the first 6 months I was like, wow, this is incredible. And then once in a while, you know, you get like, our show was extra special because what would happen is that we had so many people come by because obviously it's a daily show that we had a lot of gifts from guests. Like,
in case we didn't make it clear, this is the Tonight Show with Jimmy
Fallon.
Yeah.
Like it was late night when I started, and then it turned into the Tonight Show.
Right. Okay.
So you would have like Tom Cruise would send his famous coconut cake, which by the way,
which we had in our writer's room,
which we had in it's not as good as I remember, but
I disagree. I think it's so good.
Okay, great. Okay. I should have it again. And, you know, we'd have like brownies or like Whoopi Goldberg would send like pies and stuff. So it was, again, I look at pictures of me back then and I'm like, why was my skin kind of not great? I definitely had packed on a couple of LBs, which there's nothing wrong with that. But like, I truly was eating not well. But I was so compelled by free food that I was like, and it never went, that excitement it's, never
that,
went away.
That excitement has, by the way, I think that's a really human thing. I mean, I make fun of myself a lot for that. But when I worked at an ad agency in my early 20s in Chicago, they would have clients in and they would order sandwiches from like, I can't remember where they would order, but they would order sandwiches and like get it sort of like catered. And the moment that the client would leave, there would be like, the word would spread around the office that the sandwiches were available, the leftover sandwiches. And the way that you would see these ad executives in their 40s, 50s, people who are millionaires, like these are extremely rich, successful people, flock to the free leftover sandwiches. It's human nature to love free stuff. And I do think that I love it a little bit more than your average person, however, especially food. But I do think there is something so exciting. And by the way, speaking of free food, I know you got a lot of very special food. Didn't someone bake pies?
Yes. Okay. We had so many. It was pie heavy. Like there was a lot of pies that were given. And the thing is that, first off, I just want to go back to what you were saying. If you lose the innocence of loving free food, then you got to like, you got to look in the mirror and see what's going on in your life. Because that joy should never, I don't care how much money you have.
Yes.
The joy of free food is just, and it always tastes better when it's free. And the lowest of my lows in terms of free food was like, it got to the point where like, I loved the free food so much. I remember one time somebody, you know how like when you get the Hale and Hearty soups, you also get like a little roll with it?
Yeah.
Somebody left like free roll, like just one of those rolls in like a piece of paper on the kitchen counter. And I took that roll. Like I was like, yeah, I'll take the roll. I don't even, I had it at my desk. I didn't even eat it. I just wanted it in my possession in case. Curious,
Albertina, like when I moved to New York, I was there for 11 years in 2007. There were a lot of bars where it's like, Alligator Lounge, where it's like you get a drink, you get a pizza, or you get where you and that was like when I moved there, I was like, okay, I can eat dinner at a bar for free. I mean, did you ever go to those kind of, because some had hot dogs, some had popcorn?
Yeah. Oh yeah, because I was so broke.
Yeah.
I those places sustained me. You order one drink and then you eat like seven slices of pizza.
Why
I know about these places.
Yeah. No, I loved places like that. And I still love places like that. Because I do think there's something about like, I think I still am in that mindset, which is like, no matter how much, like, you know, obviously in time you are able to support yourself and make money and stuff. But like, I still have that mindset of like, it could all go away. So I need the free food.
Yes. Yes.
And it just seems to me like, if you don't have to pay for it, what a delight. Oh, and the Roots would always have their band room would always have different types of food. So if you were lucky, sometimes you'd be like, man, like the writers, like the main kitchen and stuff had like some stuff, but sometimes, you know, like Questlove is so into food and he's like really like knows about restaurants and stuff. So sometimes they would have really great food there too. So sometimes, you know, if you were there late enough, sometimes I'd go into the Roots room and be like, you guys, what's going on back there?
Yeah.
Like, just truly, like, just trying to see what was available. But I will say that, like, there is nothing more, like, you never feel more pathetic than when they send out the email and they say, Patti LaBelle has sent some pies and they're available in the kitchen and you're the first person there. And then you see other people come in and you're like, you're pathetic. You ran here. You ran.
That's who I think I was. She makes really great pies, right?
Yes, they're available at stores and stuff. It's specifically sweet potato pies.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
But it was delightful. But our room, okay, so back to like, that was the Great Gatsby era of food, shall we say?
Yes, yes.
Because it was plentiful.
Yes.
And then our room also, we were a bit very driven by food, like dogs.
Well, our writer's room, when we were like putting in the order for what we wanted, I remember a mix of healthy snacks and fun snacks. And obviously the fun snacks always won the day. But there is something that I had forgot. I referenced it earlier, but I did not realize how incredible pretzels are. And I think it's because pretzels were like such a normal snack when we were kids and people were like, that's a healthy snack, pretzels. And now like carbs have become so like demonized in a way that like someone to snack on pretzels, you're like, what are you, a fucked up monster? You snack on pretzels? But we had pretzels, and specifically, and I don't think these were around when we were kids, but those pretzel thins that like look like a little, they're in the shape of a little twisted pretzel, but they're really thin.
Yeah.
Those, I don't know if there's anything better in the world. Okay.
I don't know. That's for me, that's like, I'm eating that on an airplane if it's free and that's my only option, but that's the only way I can do it.
I think that airplanes have also done a disservice to pretzels, because I think those tiny pretzels you get on airplanes, they're such a weak version of pretzels. Pretzels in general, pretzel sticks, it's like, pretzels are so good in a way that...
How do you feel about a soft pretzel?
Incredible.
I think soft pretzels are significantly better than the hard ones.
Regular. Me too.
But what about a peanut butter stuffed pretzel? Those...
Great.
I go... Yeah. I can't be around them. I remember doing late night shoots at SNL and they'd have like snacks on set. And it was like, you guys are fucking rude. You brought peanut butter stuffed pretzels. Okay. I guess I'm supposed to be, you know, filming this thing, but I can't even focus on that because there's peanut butter pretzels here.
Oh, the tub of peanut butter pretzels is a staple in every writer's room. The thing is that like in writer's rooms, when you do the little list, it's so fun because it's first day of school and everybody writes down what they want, right? That's my favorite time of year.
It's like better than Christmas because it's like you're going to get everything and you're going to be able to eat it every day and it's going to keep getting ordered.
But there's so much posturing like in terms of like when you write, because you can see what everybody else has put down. And without fail, I'll write the things that I really want. And then I'll throw in like the thing that's kind of healthy that I think people should see I want. But it's, I don't want it. It's just going to sit there. I'm like,
Carrots are sitting there.
I'm like, get out of here with your, like, some people are, it's like, they'll be like, okay, rice cakes are good. But like, I was in a writer's room once where somebody wrote down rice cakes, beef jerky, and carrots. And I go, wait a second. These are your three?
Yeah.
These are your three?
Yeah.
You didn't put in one thing. Like, when are you going to go to like Trader Joe's and get a whole tub of peanut butter cups? That's where I want to.
Yeah.
This is where that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Albertina.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Okay, does anyone have any last things to say about... I was trying to think about the writer's room food.
I started bringing in those cinnamon rolls that are, you know, I would never buy a cinnamon roll for myself, generally speaking, not because I don't, I love them, but it just seems like a sugar bomb in the morning. But I was like, I'm going to bring it for the room. And I definitely ate like three or four in a sitting, but we would always bring like pastries was a big thing in our room.
Yes.
Pastries and cakes.
Yes. And then remember, because it was maybe from a storyline, Jeremy ordered a croquembouche.
A croquembouche, which is so funny because it's Marie Antoinette.
It's a tower of cream puffs.
Yes.
It's like a tower of like 100 cream puffs. And it was delicious and it lasted a long time.
It is like, just picture this, okay? You're in a office.
Yeah.
Okay. But imagine what it would be like is that you're in an office with little tiny snacks here and there. And then in the middle of the snacks is just what looks like a centerpiece for a wedding.
Yeah.
That was our snack. Because it is shaped like it's very tall and it's beautifully made. And it's got like crystal, like sugar crystals all over it and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was our snack. It's such a funny thing. It's like having a wedding cake in the middle of your
100%
office.
Beautiful. It was beautiful.
Do you two, really quick before you get this, you know, something that I fall for a lot, and this kind of doesn't fall under free food, but I'll go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I'm always on the eye for sales, but our grocery store will have stuff where it's like 10 cents are off. We'll have like the sale tag.
Yes.
And psychologically, I'll be like, well, I should buy this. It doesn't matter how much. If it has that yellow sticker, I'm so much more inclined, even though I know it's just like a psychological trick they're playing on me. Have you, either of you experienced that?
Yes, of course. It's, of course, because it's like, whatever they're doing works on me. It's the sad part. I think I'm like a pretty evolved person. I was like, I'm on to you, but it works. If I see it, I'll buy it. And also it's like, I've bought like stupid shit where I'm like, I'll walk around. I was like, I have never in my life bought powdered iced tea.
Yeah.
Like pre-made powdered iced tea. But then one time I saw it on sale and I definitely bought it. And I was like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah. I want to say that I experienced that the most actually, I'm sure with food, but also, you know that store Aritzia?
Yes, of course.
They will have a sale where it will be like truly $2 off of something. And you're like, oh my God, these are on sale. I got to get this shirt or whatever. It's a clothing store. And then they have this policy that you can't return stuff that's on sale.
Yeah.
And so like you just bought something for like 99 cents off that is not cheap. Like it's like an $100 shirt that you got for like $98.99.
And now you can't return it.
They have the tiniest sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like you can't return it. And it's an absolute scam that I can't believe they get away with to this day. I guess Aritzia is not going to be our sponsor. But speaking of clothes, the topic that you wanted to talk about today, Albertina, is clothing related. It's more than just a piece of clothing. It's a phenomenon. And that is the, is it blue, is it white dress? Why did you want to talk about this today?
Well, you know, it was 2015. And I remember this very specifically. I was working in 30 Rock, so I thought it would be a good segue, by the way.
Thank you so much.
And I just find it so funny because the way that situation, that, you know, photograph had people in my office mad at each other.
Yes.
Like, we are in a very tense time in the world and people are arguing about, like, things that actually do matter in the world.
Yes.
But that was, I like to think back on simpler times when truly that's what we were fighting about.
Oh my God.
Yes.
It was pre not so great election. It was 2015 was What an innocent time. Because yes. We were at each other's throats about this thing. And I just find it so funny, specifically now, because the world is in such a tense place, to look back at that and just remember the simpler times.
Yes.
And we got a lot of mileage out of that thing. Because, you know, when you're doing 200 shows a year, you'll take whatever you can get.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
So you were, I'm sure it was the same with SNL. It's like when something viral happened, or like, I remember it was like that week, it was the dress and these llamas escaped. Again, simpler times. There's these two llamas that escaped. I don't know if you guys remember the llamas.
No.
There were these two llamas that escaped and they were on the loose and they were looking, people were looking.
In New York.
No. It was like somewhere else. I don't remember where it was, but there were, for some reason, there was so little going on in the world.
Yeah.
The world is at such peace that the two llamas escaping was prominent news. Like, was headline news.
Wow.
Okay.
And that was, that week, we, as they say, ate. We were eating that week because that meant that we didn't have to, like, get premises from our, like, we just knew what the premise was going to be. This is what America wanted to hear about. And it was so much easier to write jokes to the things. It's like, you know, I always used to say, it's like, sometimes you try to, like, write, like, a clever little joke that was very inside baseball, or you were very proud of, but the people don't want broccoli. They want brownies. They want brownies. They want to hear about the dress and they want to hear about the llamas.
Yes.
And I milked all of us, not just me. The writers were like, I guess we'll be writing about, the punchline will always be the dress or the llamas for, I'm going to think it's going to buy us about 3 weeks worth of punchline. We're gonna beat this to death.
Yes.
Can you explain maybe the blue dress, what it was and how that became maybe controversial in the office?
Yeah. So basically, BuzzFeed, which was a huge source of material for us at the time, 2015, you know, we would get premises at the beginning of the day, in the morning, for all the writers to write jokes and monologue segment pieces to have on the show. Again, 200 days a year, you're always writing. So we get this link. I remember specifically, it was like, it was in, I think it was February of 2015. We get this link to this BuzzFeed article where people are talking about, it was back in the Tumblr days, of this dress that was, it was a kind of shitty photograph of this dress that everybody says people are seeing it two ways. It's either white and gold or blue and black. And I remember clicking the link open, and we shared, at the time I shared an office with five people. Like, we had a big, big office and we all had desks around. And I click on it and I was like, oh, that dress is 100% white and gold. I don't know what people were talking about. And then the person sitting next to me, he looked at it and goes, no, that's blue and black. And I'm like,
wow,
this is a bit, right? And obviously, like, we are all in so I thought he was doing a bit.
Yeah.
And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's the argument that people are saying. I was like, I think the people who are seeing blue and black are doing a bit. Like, I think they're just being contrarian. And then it became a thing where we were stopping crew. Like, we were, like, literally going around with our phones and being like, what do you see here? And, like, just like anybody who was in the hallway. And it was crazy. And it was crazy making.
Yes.
Because we were just like, how? And when I tell you that I heard people, like, get into very big, and I grew up in a family where there was it was a divorce. So I heard a lot of screaming in my lifetime. It was divorce type screaming.
Right.
In the hallways.
Like, big time screaming.
So it was just absolute madness. And people were losing their minds. They thought like it really was, if they felt untethered.
Yes.
By this.
Yes.
And it wasn't just us. I think a lot of people in a lot of offices. And it was really exciting, actually, because I do think that there was the monotony of doing a daily show of trying to sort of get, you know, chuckles out of America every single day. It was a high to have something to just be arguing about.
Yeah.
And it lasted quite some time, I will say.
Now, Jonah, do you remember how you saw the dress?
I just remember, it was just such a cultural phenomenon. I don't remember how it came across my awareness, but I remember looking at it and maybe having a couple conversations. I might have been working. Yeah, I worked in TV a little bit too. I wrote for Fuse, this like music video channel for a while, but I don't think I don't think it was related to that. I think I just, yeah, I just remember people talking about it
yeah.
and kind of just being weighing in on it. But it wasn't, didn't have a huge impact on me. But I knew what you were talking about when you suggested it as a topic. What about you, Vanessa?
I truly remember where I was when I saw it for the first time.
Wow.
We were filming a pre-tape thing for SNL and I don't remember what we were filming, but I remember it was like in a theater and I was sitting in the like seats of the theater looking at it. And I had a weird experience where, like, I thought it was white and then I like rubbed my eyes or something and then I saw it as blue. Like, I was able to sort of see it both ways.
That's crazy because, you know, I did some research afterwards about this.
Yes.
And, you know, they figured out what it was.
Okay, because this is good to know because we didn't quite get an answer from Wikipedia.
No, so basically the science of it all, apparently, some man who was conducting an experiment about this, because it was truly like a global phenomenon. This was not just like a US thing. It was like, it became like worldwide. Let's just also preface by saying, like, just start by saying the dress is not cute. It's not a nice dress. Although we can talk about 2015 fashion and what I was buying for myself.
Yes.
And I wasn't making great choices.
I don't think you were buying this dress.
I wasn't buying this dress, but I was definitely going to, I mostly shopped at J. Crew because it was like, I mostly ate at Hale and Hardy and I mostly shopped at J. Crew. And it's only because it was truly the only two things that were available to me in the basement.
Yeah.
But they say that basically, if you see the dress, larks, people who are mostly up during the day and spend a lot of time in daylight, see the dress as white and gold. And people who spend a lot of time in the night that were under incandescent lights or, like, you know what I mean, they're indoors quite a bit, see the dress as blue and black.
Interesting.
And I didn't realize that.
Yeah. That is the science of it all.
And you saw it as white and gold.
Yes, I did. And which is weird because I spent so much of my time indoors at the time, but I did see it that way. And I really thought that people who didn't see it that way there was something wrong with them. Like, it just, it made me not respect my friends.
Which is funny because if you, you know, read about it more, you find out that in real life, in actuality, the dress was blue. It was blue and black.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. I wonder if that was one of the like sort of superpowers I got from having such an irregular schedule at SNL, where like sometimes I'd go to bed at like 5 a.m. and sometimes I'd, you know, go to bed at like 2 p.m. And the point is, it might not have been great for my health otherwise, but it allowed me to see the dress both ways.
And you know what?
So that's a really...
You won. What a great thing. You know, you probably took so many health-wise, it wasn't great for you.
Right. But in terms of being able to see the dress both ways, yeah.
Do you remember those Magic Eye posters, like where it was like the blurred out things, like in Mallrats and stuff? Were you either of you able to see the images? Because I felt like I was never able to see them.
I think I was, you know.
You were.
I think I was. It's always like, the thing with those things too is that like, what's so messed up about the sort of like, what do you see here? Is that what I don't like about them is that you think there's something wrong with you if you don't see those.
Right.
Like, it's
right.
Just,
right.
It really makes you doubt yourself quite a bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it makes you realize that we are all truly animals with clothes on. Like, we are so simple minded at the end of the day. But, you know, like, yeah, I couldn't see those. Or like the word, you know, the hidden word puzzles and stuff. If you don't see something, you're like, I am actually dumb.
Something's wrong. I remember my birthday one year, someone gave me a Magic Eye book where it was like every page was a different Magic Eye. And I think the same thing I did to see the dress, I would do where I would sort of like blur my eyes and kind of like try and like blur. Once in a while with the Magic Eye book, I could see the image, but it's supposed to come out at you. I would see it going inward. But I almost never could see them in general, like you, Jonah. And I always, to your point, Albertina, I always felt like something was wrong with me because I was like, I can't get my eyes to see these. Like the only things I could see is like, Jonah, do you remember when we were in elementary school, there was that book that had all these black and white optical illusions that we would rent from the library. Then they sold all the books at the library in Moreland Hills and we tried to buy it. Anyway, I don't know if we ever actually got this book, but that book had like, black and white stuff that like your eyes couldn't help, but
optical illusions.
Yeah. That had optical illusions that like were real basic and you were like having a blast.
Yes.
But those magic eye things were, you had to like sit and look at one part of it and then concentrate. And it was like, I can't do this.
I always found them quite boring. Like, and I also like,
yeah,
don't think like when I, like the Where's Waldo of it all? Like I was not, I was like, I don't care where he is, frankly. I just, I'm bored by this. I was never a person who was just like, and it's not, there is some, it's weird because I think it's like the way that I use my mind, it's like, I will deep dive on the stupidest shit. Like I will go so deep and like, once I get obsessed with something, like a certain subject or something, I will try to find out everything about the thing, or a certain like band, I will try to find out everything about the thing.
Yeah.
But my mind doesn't work where it's like, where is that thing? I'm like, I don't know, too hard.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to look. Like, if it's not in front of me, then I just don't bother. Like, it, to me, that's not a fun game. Like, fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I liked hide and seek because I was like, no, I got to look for something. No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Albertina, let's say, like, you have an hour. You can either spend it apple picking or looking at a magic eye. What's more boring for you? What are you going to go with?
I'm going to go magic eye on that one. Because at least okay. The apple picking, you know, I'm getting some apples at the end of the day. What am I getting from the magic eye, really?
Yeah,
that's so you'd fair. Pick to go apple picking. I got it. I got yeah. it. Yeah.
But it would have yeah. to, like, again, apple picking, just so we, it's a good question. Apple picking would be on my list of activities. Not very high.
Not okay. very high. Okay. Okay. And... yeah, Jonah, what would be... Jonah, I think you'd pick apple picking over...
I like apple picking, yeah, but you like it. I said, it is... There's logistics you don't think about. It is... You get muddy, you got to carry them. Then you get home, you got to find a way to store them. You know, there's a lot of logistics there, but I think it's worth the payoff for
okay.
sure.
Okay, well, what do you like about... Like, what is the emotional thing that it fills in you?
I think it's, like, nice to, like, kind of connecting with nature, being outdoors.
Sure.
You know, like... Just kind of being the socialization. I like just kind of the overall experience. Maybe you get an apple cider donut, or maybe the line's so long that you can't get one.
But
which
if
is what
you,
happened
but
to
if
us.
You eat an apple while you're out there, that's a free apple. I know that's technically stealing, but
and so you can taste a couple apples, you know. I mean
have fun.
I like it, but it is like I said, my biggest problem is they're heavy. They're just really heavy.
Yeah, they're heavy to carry.
You bring something up too, it's back to the apple picking of it all. It is a nightmare to store. Like your fridge is just full of apple.
Yeah, you got to make something with them when you get
you
home.
You got to make
that
something
helps,
right away. You don't have room
clear
for
out
all
the
those
fridge,
apples.
But yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're really tired of apples after a while.
Yeah, I've been eating an apple every day lately. Yeah, cuz
yeah. Yeah. I enjoy apple picking too, if for nothing else than kind of doing bits with the apples, you know, telling a couple, two, three jokes. Whereas if I'm sitting there with a magic eye, I'm going, I guess I'm bored as hell. Now, I just want to say before we go to a commercial break and sort of wrap things up, yes, everybody, we know that the guy who put this picture on the internet of his wife's dress then later tried to kill his wife. Yeah, that's not what we're here to talk about today. Okay, we're talking about the dress as a phenomenon. So, and we don't support people trying to murder their anyone.
No. I think there's something to be said about, like, there is never, which is another thing, it's like this viral thing. I don't know what it is, but I think most people cannot handle the type of fame that comes with anything viral.
Yes.
Because it always turns into something kind of bad. Like, it never ends with, like, and then they lived happily ever after. It's like, Balloon Boy. That was a disaster. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything, I don't know what happened to the llamas. I think they were eventually found. But, like, I'm sure, like, whoever, it just... It's sensory overload for some people.
It's sensory overload for some people. Get that famous that quickly. Okay, we're going to go to a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with our friend Albertina Rizzo.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Albertina, did you have any final words about the dress?
Yes, I think that what I wanted to say about the dress is that we desperately need something silly to debate about.
Yes.
Again, to bring us together in a way where there's civil debate about something in the world that is simple and stupid. And I think we're desperate for it. So if anybody has like another magic eye thing that...
Yeah. I do think you hit on one, which is asking people if they'd rather go apple picking or stare at a magic eye. Although apple picking is really fun. So
yeah, and I don't, yeah. And
for some people, yeah, I find it fun. So
I find it fun.
It's joyful in the most innocent of ways. And I don't want to take away from that. And I do think that like,
yeah,
you touched on something really important, which is pretty soon trees will not be providing apples.
Yeah. So let's get at
let's
them
just be, you know what I mean? And also, the Adam and Eve of it all.
Yes. 100%.
Really? Apples really have had, they've been in
their iconic
at the forefront. They're iconic. They're pretty iconic. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, speaking of iconic, we're now going to play an iconic game.
Okay.
Called change.dork.
change.dork.
Otherwise known as let's make fun of people who don't know how to use change.org. In this game, we will talk about three somewhat nostalgic petitions that people have put on change.org. And we'll each vote for our favorite at the end.
Okay.
So here, the first one is called Remove Self-Checkout Lanes. And this person writes, every day, thousands of individuals use the self-checkout lane and aren't getting paid. These large companies cut employee hours and expect us to do work for free. I'm asking for a maximum of one self-checkout lane that has a maximum of 10 items or less. It's unnecessary to have someone who has one item to wait behind someone who has 30 items or more. The amount of self-checkout lanes far exceeds the amount of cashiers. As an alternative, a customer would use their reward number and the store should take the minimum wage. Okay, this is complicated. Divide it by 180 and that would give them dollars per second total that they should be paying us. I guess this person works there, is a cashier. By signing this petition, you are making it known to the CEOs that we are their customer, not their employee.
Okay.
Okay.
I disagree with this person.
Okay. Why is that? What do you think?
Because ultimately, self-checkout lanes are, there's always somebody on standby because somebody always fucks up. So
right.
There's plenty of work for people who are there to like use their badge to get you out of a pickle.
Yeah.
Which is I mean, like, let's be honest, it's got to happen at least more than a dozen times a day. It happens at every self-checkout. There's somebody who just added something.
I do it every time. Every time. Self-checkout.
Or the bag. It says there's something you didn't put in the bag, but you did, and they got to come over. And,
100%. Yeah. And also, I don't want to take away from the people who need the jobs, because I do agree that, like, you shouldn't, you know, I want more people with jobs, obviously. And yes, I want them to feel used. But I bet that if I would be delighted to be the person who just has to swipe my badge and that's it. Like,
yeah,
it sucks to bag groceries for some people. And it's like, if you get to do the job, get paid the same, and then just help some idiot just try to get their self-checkout thing situated, I think that's just as good. I also think that it's like waiting in line for the cashier. It's just, for some of us, like, if you have one bottle of water, you're really going to wait in line.
Right, right.
You know, although you shouldn't be using bottled water. But you know what I mean? Like,
sometimes you got to wait in line even for the self-checkout. Right?
Yes, because somebody messed up.
Yeah.
And they're trying, because somebody messed up and needs somebody to swipe their badge to help them out of that hole that they just got into. So, this guy, the logic behind this is flawed.
Yeah, I agree. The logic is flawed. I don't think removing the self-checkout lanes is the best, but I think maybe incentivizing customers, maybe throw them a little discount, because you kind of are doing the work for the store. Like, you're doing a job.
Yeah,
I didn't think of it that way.
You should be compensated for that, maybe, you know, because it's like you're that's labor, right? You're doing it.
Yeah.
And the CEOs are laughing all the way to the bank. And what are the customers getting?
Okay, Jonah, I got it. Yeah. Okay. I agree. I agree with both of you. I think there's a way to keep everybody who's working there employed and yet keep these self-checkout lanes. I don't think we need to get rid of them. Now, the next one, end QR code menus. This person wrote, physical menus are a piece of our social fabric. To hold a menu at a restaurant is to hold on to a piece of our culture as Americans. QR code menus were implemented during COVID, but it's time to bring back real menus at restaurants. There's no room for phones at the dinner table. How do you both feel about this one?
I'm on board. And I think this person's right.
Okay.
And I think we need to bring back the humanity of looking at real menus. Because ultimately what happens is this. I don't know if you've had this happen, but I've been at a table where people do the QR thing and I know they're checking Instagram. They're not checking the menu.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They're not
checking
the menu because they're like, oh, where's the cocktail area? And they're like, they're just kind of, and also there's always like five tabs. I'm like, just, I don't need to see. It's just so, I
don't need to see that.
I don't need to. I've been watching The Comeback, actually. I've been rewatching The Comeback.
Jonah loves it so much. So do I.
But I agree wholeheartedly, because there is something that it is a big, big, big pet peeve of mine. And I know that I'm probably not in the majority here, but I don't want to see a phone on the table at all. Like, it just, it takes away from.
I agree.
It makes me anxious if somebody has their phone, even facing like with the screen down. Like, I still think that they're just waiting for like the next thing and they're not invested in the dinner. They're just like waiting to get an alert so that they can go somewhere else. So for me, if there's any possible way to deter from that happening, it's great. I also feel like it's much more, I don't know why I'm using this word, but I do believe this, like, romantic about looking at a menu than like scrolling through a phone. There's just something so I don't know. I like.
I agree.
Yeah.
Agree. Jonah, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, I get it, right? During COVID, I guess, you know, trying to be hygienic, trying not to touch, you know, I get it. But yeah, at this point, I don't like having to bring the phone out. It's like, you know, then half the time it doesn't work. So it's like, you know, and then they don't, you know, so yeah, I don't like dealing with the phone. It's hard to read.
Yeah.
It just always, when you sit down and there's like just that thing on the table, and I've seen people complain about this too, like then you're printing out all these pictures of the QR code. Why not just print out the menu?
I agree. Yeah,
exactly. Know?
So
exactly.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. And it's, I think this is like, it feels like a little like boomer territory to be like anti-technology or something. But I think in this situation, I'm over it. Vanessa, what about you?
I agree with you. And so do 14 people who signed this petition. I agree with you both. I think let's get rid of these QR codes. Let's have menus in the restaurants. There is something romantic.
Something about, like, some things are meant to be analog and some there.
Yes.
And I just think that we need to like adhere to that, because otherwise it's just, also I love that they were like for hygiene purposes, and when we realize that that's not how you get COVID,
Yeah, 100%.
Not... Now, Jonah, do you want to read this last one? Because it's, you found all of these actually, and this last one is pretty incredible.
Yes. So this last one is make water flavored Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
What?
And it's short, and there's an image someone created of a Pop-Tart kind of filled with bottled water, and it says, we need water-flavored Pop-Tarts. It is a necessity. Think about how amazing it would be. It would be healthy, too. This has 8 signatures. Albertina, what are your thoughts on a water-flavored Pop-Tart?
All right.
Do you think we need it?
Let's say this. If there was a water-flavored Pop-Tart and it was free in the kitchen, guess what little mouse would be eating the water-flavored? Me. I would try the water-flavored. If it's free, I'm eating it.
Yeah.
That being said, okay. I don't understand what this person was clearly doing a bit, first off. And secondly, you know, when we go to like a state fair and they'll be like, because I do love a state fair, and they'll be like, oh, this is battered beer. So it's like beer in batter. And I was like, that's physically impossible. Like, they're like, no, it's definitely beer in batter. And I went there and I was like, oh, it's just batter because the beer disappears. So there's no, it would be
right.
Like,
right. It evaporates.
It'd be like, it's like a trick candy or something. Like that would not make any sense. Water flavored Pop-Tarts is like, what does that even taste like?
Yeah. What does it even taste like? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It'd be a great marketing thing though.
It'd be a great marketing thing. It would probably be more healthy than one of these fruit fillings. I'm concerned things could get pretty soggy pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a bunch of water inside there. Mold could be a concern. I don't know.
Well, you know what I think water flavored Pop-Tarts are? Empty Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
That's what I think too. That's what I was going to say. I think the water evaporates to your point about beer battered stuff and the beer evaporate. Like, I think that's an empty Pop-Tart. You know, if it's got frosting on top, I'm not going to, you know, say no to it. Especially, as you said, Albertine, if it's free. And I like that you started with that because... Let's be honest. If someone's given me a Pop-Tart, I'm eating it. Okay. I don't care if it's, I don't care if it's zero flavored, which is what this seems to be. But yeah, I think again, and we've talked about this before when we played this game, sometimes people little bit seems like they're testing out their stand up on here.
Yes.
And I go, take it to an audience, stand up there, take it to an
audience. Change.org is not really the place for it.
You can't have the same platform where you're trying to like save children and also do a petition. Like, it's like, just take it somewhere else. Change.org this has to have some standards because you can't like donate money to a cause of like, you know, political cause and then also be in the same space as the guy who's like, LOL, you know, would be funny.
Yeah. And luckily Change.org, they don't have any rules or standards or else we wouldn't be able to play this game. But it is, I go up on a stage, you're tight five about water flavored Pop-Tarts. Am I going to come see it? Maybe if you give me a comp, probably not, even if you did that. But I don't need you to be coming on here. As you said, Albertina, where some people really serious about causes and some people have actual good ideas like the QR code thing, money and menus. But like, you know, come on. And also, this is 2 sentences. Guess what? Becoming a comedian, it does take work. Go ahead, Jonah. Sorry.
I do like this segment because there's so many weird keywords I search. It's like, I go like, okay, I got to sit down and do research. And then it's me on change.org typing in like Pop-Tart, like snack for roll-up. Yeah. I mean, it's
research. A lot of fun. Well, it's okay. So Albertina, if you had to vote for one of these petitions, and I'll remind you what they are, remove self-checkout lanes, enter QR code menus, or make water-flavored Pop-Tarts, which one are you picking to sign?
I think we need to, as human beings, we need to stop with the QR codes and obviously, and just spend more time together as people and not look at our phones.
Yes.
And so I would say that would be the one. And I think that is a very worthy cause, in fact.
Agree. Yes. Agree. Yeah. Jonah, which are you picking?
I agree with Albertina 100%. No QR code menus. Bring out some paper menus. Put your phone away when you're having dinner with other people and, you know, show some self-respect, really, above all. Vanessa, what about you?
Well, I would vote for Make Water Flavored Pop-Tarts author to go to, you know, a comedy club.
Take a Zany's workshop.
Take a Zany's workshop. Go somewhere. Just try it out. Give it a real try, okay? This is not where you're going to, you know what I mean? But then my actual thing that I would sign would be QR code menus. I agree with both of you. Let's go back to menus. Let's be class acts here.
Okay? Yes, exactly. And let's just like, you know, you're never going to read the description on a phone of what is happening with the meal. You know what I mean? Like what about the writers of those menus? Pay some homage to them. They took the time to tell you how the cod was cooked. Give them a little bit of respect.
Pay some homage. Exactly. Well, Albertina, this has been so much fun. Where can people find you?
Oh, right now? Tending to my tomatoes. I guess on, you know, they can find me around.
Okay.
I'm on the hellscape that is X and all of those other things. But I think that you'll find me not looking at a QR code at some restaurant and hopefully,
you're all the better for it.
Yes. Thank you so much. Just being a human. Not apple picking. I'll tell you, that's where they won't find me.
Okay. You're not going to find it. Yeah. Uh-huh. You're not going to find her at the orchard, everybody. Okay. Well, that was so much fun. Thank you so much, Albertina, for joining us. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones, like what is actually referred to as the dress. That's what people call
it. The dress.
The dress.
It was so great. Thank you, guys.
Everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.